Good morning, hallelujah. Give the children a round of applause. He is risen indeed, amen. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. It is a great day to be in the house of the Lord, amen. We are so excited to see each and every single one of you this morning. We are so thankful for what Jesus has accomplished. The tomb is empty. We just want to highlight a few announcements this morning. The pictorial directory. We continue to take signups in the back. Denise and so many other volunteers have been there available. If you haven't signed up yet, you just need to be an attendee here, not a member. So if you come to Little Swatara, we would love for you to sign up for our pictorial directory so that we can roll that out after they take the pictures May 17th to 21st. We do want to also highlight next Sunday. Everyone say next Sunday. Is a youth-sponsored soup and sandwich luncheon after church. I've never been disappointed by one of those, so please plan to stay, donate, and support our youth. They do such an awesome job with serving that, and it's a great time of fellowship as well. We want to highlight April as well as a sub-sale. Orders are due by April 3rd, so again, next Sunday. Say next Sunday. For the April sub-sale. We do want to highlight summer is coming. Is anyone ready for summer? Hasn't this weather been quite interesting lately? But Little Swatara has a summer volleyball season, which is quickly approaching. So if you want to play some volleyball, it's May 2nd through August 13th, Mondays and Thursdays in the evening. Contact Rachel Graby and we'll get you signed up. And we need that by April 17th as well. And it's for 14 years or older are welcome to play. We want to highlight if anyone has a telephone pole or an electric pole. We're looking to replace the one that had this basketball hoop on it that's kind of been demised a bit, you could say. So contact John High if you would have a telephone pole or an electric pole that we could replace that one out there with the basketball hoop on. And then also this week, I believe it's on Wednesday, the keys are getting changed. So we want to encourage you, if you have a key and you see a need for a key to the church, return those old keys to John High, mailbox 74, and we'll get a new key issued to you if you indeed need a key. Are there any other announcements we want to highlight this morning before we enter into our opening hymn? Let's rise, let's greet one another, welcome them here to this Easter Sunday morning, and then we'll sing together number 273, Low in the Grave He Lay.
From
I draw your attention to the back of your bulletin this morning, and there's an article about hope and resurrection. And we are aware of the persecution of our sisters and brothers in the EYN, Church of the Brethren in Nigeria, and their great faithfulness in the midst of suffering. We know of Haitian brethren who live in the Dominican Republic and the racism they face daily. Life for fledgling brethren groups in South Sudan and the Democratic Republic of Congo is not easy either. And the challenge for us today is, what do you hope for? Our own prosperity and well-being can make this a difficult question. When life is so good, how often do we consider life after death? If our primary understanding of life in Christ is overcoming the obstacles and annoyances we face on earth, how much hope are we placing in eternity? The sufferings of our global brethren family might give us renewed perspective on this. When we suffer and death is on our doorstep, the promise of being made alive in Christ takes on new significance. And then that age-old affirmation of faith, the Lord is risen indeed, is truly music to our ears. There'll be a microphone coming around if anyone has joys or concerns to share with our church family. But also you'll notice in your bulletin there's a list of prayer concerns that we would encourage you to pray as the days and weeks go by for.
I ask prayer for a family member, for a healing of a family member.
Okay, thank you. We do want to highlight the rosebuds are presented today in honor of the birth of Jensen Allen, a son born March 13th to Norman Jr. and Stephanie Wengert, and also Chloe Elizabeth, daughter of Andrew and Chelsea Brubaker, born March 19th. So we just want to congratulate those families and grandparents and just pray their family life as they journey together.
I request prayer for my cousin's wife, Laura. She has been diagnosed with bone cancer.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you that we can gather here in safety. We know across the world our brothers and sisters are being persecuted for their faith. But Father, we know that it's not all that comfortable to be able to go into this world and to share who we are in Christ. But Father, I believe that you're calling us each to do so, to go and to make disciples. So we pray this Easter Sunday with the best news that has been given to us, that you have risen, that we would take that news to the far lands. Father, we know in our individual lives there's concerns, many that may not have been spoken. And Father, we believe that you know us deeper than we know ourselves. And so we commit our lives to you and we surrender them, asking you to move in our midst. We think, Father, of Laura, who has colon cancer, and we recognize, Father, that you are indeed the master physician. And Father, you know those that have been stricken with that illness and many others, and we ask your healing touch in Jesus' name upon them. We pray, Lord, for those recovering from surgeries, those who are facing surgeries, those who are uncertain of what the next day will hold. Father, we pray your guidance. We pray your direction in our lives. But Father, we specifically lift up this morning those on our prayer concerns. Robert Snyder, Lloyd and Naomi Moyer, Roberta Bayshore, Jen Emmerich, Pete Sanchez, Jim Mills, Jess Hartramp, Christine Bayshore, Carol Shaw, Catherine Kenwenger, Ruth Wenger, Angie Hartman, and so many others that flood our minds even now. Father, we pray that day by day we would lift our brothers and sisters up, that we would pray for their peace, we would pray for their comfort, we would pray for their healing in Jesus' name. But now, Father, we remember on the cross that you paid the ultimate price for our sins. And Father, we know day by day there's sins that creep into our lives, known and unknown. And we're coming before you in these next few moments of silent prayer, confessing those sins and asking to be renewed, to be restored, knowing that you are a God of second chances. So thank you, God, for hearing the prayers of our hearts and our prayers of confession. Father, the joy in our hearts is overwhelming. knowing that the tomb is empty. Knowing that one day when we, as we believe upon you, as we trust in you, and we turn our lives over to you, living the new life that's found in Christ alone, that we too will spend eternity with you. And Father, while we are here just a little while longer, as we suffer, as we endure life's trials, we pray your peace. We pray your understanding in Jesus' name. Help us to gather as a body of believers, remembering this very day that you are risen. To you be all the glory forever and ever. Amen.
I invite you to rise and turn in your hymnals to 280. 280. Christ the Lord is risen today.
Thank you.
We thank God for the many blessings of family that we have surrounding us today. We thank God for the blessing of those who have gone on before us that are now in their life eternal. And we thank God for the gift of life and the gift of being able to bless in our abundance. And we turn to Him now during our time of offering and pray. Lord Jesus, thank You for the way that You continually move in our midst. Father, we're overwhelmed by Your presence. We're consumed by the abundance that You provide. And Father, we come to You now just offering our life as an act of worship and giving of our tithes and offerings to further the kingdom. And it's in Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.
Going on an Easter egg hunt today?
We have lots of,
you guys do?
I have lots of Easter egg hunts today.
Yeah? As you see, I already got my Easter egg basket ready. They're even filled with eggs already.
My mom.
Your mom?
My mom did an Easter hunt before we. My mom did an Easter hunt this morning.
Your mom did an Easter egg hunt for you this morning? That's cool. What? You went on an Easter egg hunt in class. That's awesome. I have four very special eggs with me this morning. These are very special eggs. And each of these eggs have something different in them that symbolize that shows us exactly what happened for the meaning of Easter. You'll see. Hold on. Can you open this one for me? Can you pull out what's inside? What's it? What is it?
It's the cross.
It's the cross. That's right.
Just like my cross.
The cross reminds us that how Jesus took his cross to Calvary. Well, keep those closed. I don't want them open yet. No. Not yet. He took the cross to Calvary to die for us. He took our sins away. No one told him he had to do it. He did it because he knew that was the only way for us to get to heaven. God sent his son for us to die because he loved. God sent his only begotten son for us so that we could have everlasting life. Can you open this one? Here, open that one. There's right here. There's nails. We're missing one. A nail fell out. All right, we'll find it. Well,
Jesus, that they hooked on the cross.
Yes, that's right. The nails remind us of the nails that went into Jesus' hands and feet when he was on the cross. They weren't great big, these are little nails. You can't see them that well. Look, we're good. They're bigger nails than this. He suffered a great amount of pain because they went into his feet. What's? That's right. Can you find number three? Where's number three? There we go. Can you open this one? Here, can you open this one? What's in there? A rock. That stone reminds us of the stone that hid Jesus in the grave. This stone shows us that nothing is too big for Jesus to conquer. He moved the stone away and rose again. And that brings us to the fourth egg. Keep those closed. Yes, that one. I'm going to open this one. There's nothing in it. That's right. It reminds us of the empty tomb. There was two women that went there, Mary and Mary. They were the first people that, at first they thought someone stole Jesus' body. But Jesus, inside the tomb, there was an angel who told them, "He is not here. He is risen. Come and see the place where he lay." The empty egg reminds us of Jesus' empty tomb. He is risen just as he said he would. The Jesus we willingly serve took up his cross, but he could not be held on the cross by the nails, and he could not be kept in the tomb by the stone. He is risen and lives in heaven with God. That's his Father. The Bible tells us that everyone who believes in him will join him in heaven sometime. Let's pray. We thank you, God, that you loved us so much that you sent your only Son for us to die. We thank you. We are thankful that you, for his story, does not end on his death, but we serve a risen Savior. Amen. I have an egg for every one of you, so remember, don't take the special eggs. Here. Oh, don't crowd me.
Shattered, you see whole. I see broken, but you see beautiful, and you're helping me to be. There's nothing too dirty. that you can't make worthy. You wash me in mercy. I am clean. Washed in the blood of your sacrifice, your blood flowed red.
Friday. All day Saturday they mourned, until finally on the first day of the week, early in the morning, the scripture says some women made their way along the path that led to his tomb, wondering who would roll away the stone. But when they arrived, they found that the stone had already been rolled away. And an angel there told them, "You're looking in the wrong place. You're looking for Jesus among the dead. He's not here. He's alive. He's risen just as he said." Friends, Jesus is risen. That's what we celebrate this morning. When all the evidence is in, we're convinced that Jesus is alive. He has risen from the grave. And what a difference his resurrection has made, not only for this life, but the life to come. The 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians is the great resurrection chapter of the Bible. In verses 1-8, Paul writes, "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me." With that introduction, Paul goes on to present a tremendous testimony to the resurrection of Jesus. Verses 51 and 52, he turns his attention to us. "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed." With those words ringing in our ears, let us consider some of the changes, some of the transformations that the resurrection of Jesus has already made. To illustrate this, I want us to think about the cross and the tomb. Before his resurrection, the cross was known only as an instrument of horrible death. Rough wood soaked with human blood. So terrible was this form of execution that the Roman Empire prohibited the crucifixion of Roman citizens. Crucifixion was only for the worst of slaves and enemies of the empire. But today, because of his resurrection, we wear a replica of the cross as a piece of jewelry, a thing of beauty. For all around the world, the cross is seen as a symbol of hope and a reminder that the God of the universe, creator and sustainer of life, loves us. And what about his tomb? Before the resurrection, for most of the world, the grave was looked upon as the final chapter, the closing of a great door, the end of everything. But friends, because of his resurrection, we can rejoice today that beyond death is where life really begins and never ends. If only we trust and we believe upon the Lord that he has died and paid the penalty for our sin, confessing that we are sinners and receiving the gift of eternal life, knowing that he is risen. Friends, my prayer is we don't gather here this morning and take this lightly. Death and life are in the balance. Heaven and hell are very real. It's not a matter of saying a prayer and believing we're good, we're in, that's it. No, friends. Our lives are never the same. We go on believing and living a life of surrender to God. It makes you wonder, doesn't it? Why we spend so much time worrying and fretting about material things. Dale Evans once said, I spent most of my life searching for the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Then I finally found it at the foot of the cross. All our lives, it seems we work and we struggle to accumulate things that we think are important. But when we're dealing with death and what happens after death, then all these things seem so unimportant, so petty, so insignificant compared to the life to come. What difference does it really make what kind of car we drive, what kind of house that we live in, the clothes that we wear? If we're talking about eternity, then what difference do things really make? On one side of the resurrection, everything we see is temporary. Only the things we cannot see are eternal. What a difference, the resurrection makes for the life to come. Then, friends, we have the transformation of life itself. Have you been listening to the messages of the world lately? Have you been hearing the voices of hopelessness and despair that seem to be so pervasive? Suddenly, we have become painfully and personally aware of the presence of persecution. Our brothers and sisters in Nigeria are faithful in the midst of it. No doubt there will be a prolonged battle against the forces of hatred and evil. And diseases continue for which many we have no cures. There's problems in the home, children being abused, people sleeping on the streets. If you watch and listen very long, we too can be filled with despair. And if the only hope that we have is the hope that this world offers, we have no hope, because the message of this world is despair. In contrast, Jesus said, I have come to bring you life. Not just life, but life more abundantly. To show you how to live. To bring you hope and joy and peace and love. To give you a reason for living. Even if life is full of pain and there seems to be no end, even if there's loneliness and sorrow, friends, will be able to go on. We'll find the strength that comes through Jesus and the power of his resurrection. We believe there's transformation of death. Before the resurrection, death was the end. Before the resurrection, death was the final curtain call. Before the resurrection, all we could do was mourn as those who have no hope. But after the resurrection, when someone dies, we mourn because we've lost a loved one. But we mourn as people who have a great hope, because Jesus Christ is alive. And the promise of Scripture is that if he is alive, then we too can live forever. Friends, you see, our sins are forgiven by his shed blood. We are made clean. And we have this promise of everlasting life. It changes the whole concept of death itself. In Henry Garrity's book, Portraits of Perseverance, Eli was a very rich man who owned a great estate. One of his favorite pastimes was riding horseback through his valley, looking over everything he owned and congratulating himself on his great wealth. One day, as Eli was riding along, he came over a hill and in the distance saw one of his tenant farmers, an older man named Hans. It was lunchtime, and Hans had set a small table under a shade tree and was getting ready to eat. But before he ate, he bowed his head. He folded his hands in prayer to thank God for his food. Eli watched the man as he prayed. Then he looked at his meal. It was a mere slice of coarse bread and a piece of cheese. With a snicker, Eli said, "If that's all I had to eat, I wouldn't even bother to pray." Hans replied humbly, "It is enough, and I'm thankful that God has provided it." Taken aback by the man's answer, Eli turned his horse and prepared to ride away. But before he could leave, Hans said, "Wait a minute. I need to tell you something. I had a dream last night, and in my dream, I saw a beautiful scene. And then I heard a voice saying, 'Tonight, the richest man in the valley will die. Tonight, the richest man in the valley will die.'" "Nonsense," said Eli as he rode off toward home. But as he was riding, the words of Hans haunted him. "Tonight, the richest man in the valley will die." Up to then, he had felt quite well. But now he was beginning to experience pains in his chest. He wondered, could it possibly be true? Am I going to die tonight? When he reached home, he called his doctor and told him of Hans' dream and of the pains that he had been feeling. The doctor said, "Well, it doesn't sound like anything you ought to be concerned about. But for your peace of mind, I'll come over and examine you." So the doctor did. After the examination was over, he said, "Eli, you're as strong as a horse. There's no way you're going to die tonight." Eli said, "Well, I feel mighty foolish that I paid any attention to the man's dream about the richest man in the valley dying tonight. But I wanted to be certain." So reassured, Eli went to bed. The next morning, there was a knock at the door. And the messenger said, "Eli, Hans died last night." Friends, truly, I tell you, the richest man in the valley died last night. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:55, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is the victory?" And in 1 Corinthians 15:57, "And thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, his resurrection makes all the difference. Before, things seemed so important, but now they have become pretty insignificant. Before, time was limited, but now there's all eternity. Before, life was filled with despair, but now, friends, it has purpose, it has direction, and it has meaning. Before, death was the end. But now, dear friends, it's only the beginning. There was a Sunday school teacher who asked her class to write a sentence on what Easter meant to them. They returned their assignments, and one student wrote, "Egg salad sandwiches for the rest of the year." I wonder if we asked one another this morning what Easter means to us, what our responses would be. For some, it means family gatherings and lots of food and laughter. To others, it may mean the Easter bunny has come and delivered baskets full of goodies. But yet, my prayer is that to many, to all of us, it means Jesus rose from the dead. I wonder if we ever really thought about what that means for our lives. We've been told the Easter story time and time again. We understand Jesus paid the price for our sins. We're no longer separated from God. Our sins have been paid in full. But what does that mean to us today? What does it mean to live the resurrected life? Is it day to day as usual? Or is there something more to this Easter story? Maybe we hear the story and tend to be a bit like Thomas and doubt that it ever happened. This morning, I'd like to crush those doubts once and for all. I'd like us to be confident in the knowledge of our Savior and the salvation that is at hand. He's the only one who has conquered death and lives on forever. Friends, He is risen. Every other god has gone on before us. Jesus is risen. He's seated at the right hand of God. It's finished. And the resurrected life is ours to choose. It's the change that makes all the difference. We're not who we used to be. People notice and question our actions and words that leave the sweet aroma of Christ all around us. It's in this very moment we open our hearts and minds to acknowledge the evidence of a resurrected Lord and Savior. Easter changes everything. The life to come is at hand. Let's pray. Father God, I don't know the story of everyone in this room, but Father, we know that You do. Perhaps some of us sitting here this morning have been turned off by church. Others are dealing with a great deal of strife and pain. But Father, whatever plagues us this day, we give it to You. Maybe for the very first time we say, Lord, I long to live this life for You. I surrender my all in all. I confess You as Lord and Savior, and I receive You into my life, and I never want to be the same. God, we want to thank You again for the cross, and we want to thank You again for the empty tomb. We now live life with expectancy of the life to come. To You be all glory and all power and all honor forever and ever. Amen.
Please rise and join in singing 282. 282. Proclaim the tidings near and far.
Guide us, O Lord, by your word and Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, amen and amen. The Lord is risen. Go in peace.